They were assigned to a B-24D that looked like all the others. For the next 3 months, in Ephrata in August and September, and Sioux City in October, they practically lived in it. They flew in formation, fired at targets pulled by tow planes, simulated combat runs, and dive-bombed. One day they buzzed so low over Iowa that the propellers kicked up a storm of sand, skinning the paint off the plane's belly and scouring the legs of Pillsbury, who was sitting by the open hatch in the tail, trying to photograph their dummy bombs as they fell into target nets. Throughout it all, Louis perched in the glass-windowed greenhouse in the plane's nose, bombing targets. The COs soon learned of the squadron's prowess. Angry farmers came calling after the 372nd's 100-pound bombs flattened an outhouse and one unfortunate cow. Phil's crew had their first scare at Ephrata. On a training flight, they had radio trouble and got lost, flew around in a blind confusion for hours, and ended up landing at nearly midnight in Spokane, half a state away from their slated destination. They'd been missing for 3.5 hours, and the entire West Coast Air Corps had been hunting for them. When Phil stepped off the plane, he got one chewing out from a colonel. When he flew back to Ephrata, he got another, in stereo, from a colonel and major. "I grew a little older that night, sweet, believe me," he wrote to Cece. The panic had been justified, for accidents were common and deadly. Before Louis had begun his bombardier training, he had received a letter from a friend who was an Air Corps cadet. "I guess you read about the cadet and instructor who was killed here last week. The poor devils never had a chance. They stalled their ship while turning from base leg onto landing approach. The ship made a one-turn spin and then really hit the ground. When they hit, it tore their bodies to pieces. The safety belt cut the instructor half in two. All over the wreck part of the airplane, it looked like somebody took and threw about 3 pans of tomatoes and crackers all over it, blood and flesh. They were mangled to bits. Couldn't even identify them looking at them." It was a kind of story that was filling the letters of would-be airmen all over the country. Pilot and navigator error, mechanical failure, and bad luck were killing trainees at a stunning rate. In the Army Air Forces, or AAF, there were 52,651 stateside aircraft accidents over the course of the war, killing 14,903 personnel. Though some of these personnel were probably on coastal patrol and other duties, it can be presumed that the vast majority were trainees, killed without ever seeing a combat theater. In the 3 months in which Phil's men trained as a crew, 3,041 AAF planes, more than 33 per day, met with accidents stateside, killing 9 men per day. In subsequent months, death tallies exceeding 500 were common. In August 1943, 590 airmen would die stateside, 19 per day. Louis, Phil, and their crew saw the dying firsthand. In July, Phil's close friend had been killed in a B-24, just after Phil had had dinner with him. On another day, Phil's crew spent part of a rainy morning sitting in a briefing room with another crew as they awaited flights. Both crews went to their planes, but at the last minute, Phil's crew was ordered back. The other crew took off, flew 2 miles, and crashed, killing the pilot and navigator.